Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you. Welcome to Rosie on the House. If you were waking up this month in 1887, you get to see parts of the Catalina Mountains falling off the side as earthquake shook Tucson, rattling buildings recorded in a diary by George O. Hand. Catalina Mountains are our area of focus for this month in the whole Tucson area. Our staycation winter is on vacation right now at Hacienda del Sol.
I bet they have a beautiful day today. I mean, I wonder back in 18 whatever what the temperature was. I bet it wasn't this beautiful.
I bet it was in a year that only had 200 degree days, only 28 days away from the summer solstice.
I know, right? I got up this morning. We get up early on Saturdays, of course, and it was already light. It was 4:45, and it was light. But it was still very cool. So it's kind of confusing to my
How
normal.
Can this be?
How it's can a, this be? I'm
beautiful.
Loving it.
And in fact, it's so nice that there are no fire restrictions for this Memorial Day weekend. If you're going out traveling, camping, you'll get to enjoy the crackle of a real fire. That was something we missed last year. Every summer, we go camping to a new area we've never been before in Arizona. And no matter where we went last year, we could not find the entire state was under fire restriction. Here we are a year later. It's Memorial Day weekend and no fire restrictions.
And that's not to say don't be careful. They've already shown a couple of brush fires out by you last night.
And yeah, when I was driving home, I thought, oh, there's a car fire up at 17 in the 303. And I got close. I'm like, no, that's farther west. And I kept driving. I thought, I wonder how close to my house this is. And I got a couple great pictures of it. It was about 7 miles east of me. And by the time I was done with chores, it looked like they had gotten it out. But the Dove Fire charred 1,000 acres. So be careful. Just because there's no fire restrictions for camping enjoyment doesn't mean you need to be a bonehead. When we had Jim Cross on here, we created a motto. He's the fire reporter for the state. Keep Cross on the couch. We don't want him out and about reporting.
I like it.
Keep Cross on the couch.
He's our Jim Cantore, I guess, of Arizona.
He needs nothing to do. And if you are heading to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, be prepared. They had a ruptured pipe that happened as a result of a rock slide. So they've got the only water on site is what's in holding tanks. So you can't restrooms or porta potties. They encourage you to bring disposable plates and forks and not anything you're going to need to wash. And it's going to take helicopters and repelling equipment to fix this, and they're estimating at least 10 days. Work is supposed to start today, but it's going to take them at least 10 days to fix it.
Well, you know, this weekend is Rosie's traditional Hike the Canyon weekend, and due to the accident last year, of course, he's not ready, but we do have a good update in the 9 o'clock hour how Rosie's doing. But, so there's a bunch of people hiking back and forth this weekend thinking about Rosie.
If you're on your way to Tonto Natural Bridge, know the observation deck has been closed. It was deemed unsafe. And we need to get somebody about this, because did you look it up? Was Tonto National Bridge a national park or a state park?
I took your word
for it. It's a state park. Oh, no,
It is a state park?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought it was a national park.
Yeah, I always get that confused, too. You
okay.
Know,
the Tonto Natural Bridge is a state park.
Yeah, because you have Red Rock State Park in Sedona. And then the other park that I really like, too, that's a national park. I believe that's how that works. So, anyway.
Well, it won't be reopened until 2020, but the hiking trails are still open. Just be aware that the observation deck, if you've been there before and you're expecting to be able to get close and see that great great shot in photography, might not be quite what you expected this weekend. But still plenty of places up in the rim country to go and enjoy. Horton's Creek was always one of that our Boy Scout troop did annually.
I had to say that.
and Snowball has their first summer lifts going, and you'll be able to see the snow.
Oh, good. So they're no
skiing,
but the lifts are open.
Ski season's over with. It's their summer season, so you can get on the lift, and you'll be going over whatever's left of that base. It's still pretty, something like 50 inches of snow.
Take a jacket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Jennifer got this one right yesterday. Let's see if Gary can do it.
Okay.
The world's shortest Memorial Day parade is held where?
The one, it's in Arizona.
Well, thanks for, aren't you a hard.
Well, I thought you gave me that much. That's how I got it right.
Well, that still doesn't give me much of a hint. The short.
Come on, Gary.
Okay, I'm going to take a wild stab because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking Bisbee.
Crown King.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
It's all of about 300 feet at most.
Can't even get through a whole song.
That's going on today at noon.
And it ends at the
I'm
saloon,
sorry,
right?
Sunday, May 26th. It starts at noon tomorrow and is followed by a family caravan at 12:10.
Oh, neat.
So it takes all of 10 minutes. But that's going on tomorrow. There's also the Blue Star Museum Initiative. Have you seen this? I looked it up yesterday, and it's pretty cool. And the Heard Museum is taking part of it. Free admission for any active duty military personnel.
Oh.
You can go to arts.gov and look up museums that participate in this. And if you're an active military, you can go visit any one of these museums that are involved and have free admission. That's a great program. There's also the National Cemetery. Arizona has two. There's the Prescott National Cemetery, as long as the National Memorial Cemetery, both having events today. And you go to the website, and it says each one of these will have their own event going on today. Reach out to the local cemetery to find out what's going on. And we have a guest here today to talk about the events going on at the National Cemetery, along with a project she started 25 years ago.
We have Ms. Barbara Hatch in studio with us, founder of the Veterans Heritage Project. This is kind of our way of celebrating Memorial Day. You know, Romy, in the United States, according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, we have 21,681,000 veterans still living in the United States, and we have 500,000 of those are right here in Arizona. Or, I'm sorry, is that right? I wrote it wrong. Yes, 500,000 in Arizona. So, you know, we just wanted to make sure that everybody gets a chance to remember Memorial Day. So we thought we'd play our part in that and have Barbara on to talk about this awesome project she has going on. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
So I think we should just kind of start talking about how this evolved. There's so many veteran projects out there. So I want to make sure that people kind of tag your name, tag your mission and your vision, because we have a little call to action at the end, and we want to get people involved in thinking about this project. It's a wonderful way to honor veterans. So why don't you just tell us a little story how that all evolved?
Well, back in 1998, when Tom Hanks made the movie Saving Private Ryan, and it coincided a little bit with the creation of the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., students came into my history class and said, how much of that movie is real? So I wrote a letter to the Veterans of Foreign Wars and asked them if there were some D-Day veterans living in the Valley, which at the time had 2 million people. I figured there had to be at least one, with, like you said, there were so many veterans living in Arizona. So they posted my letter in their state newsletter, and I started getting calls from World War II, Korea, not so much Vietnam. I'll talk about that later, but they were ready to tell their story. They were in their 70s and they'd carried it around too much. They'd never told their families. They just didn't talk about it. Enough time had passed. The movie kind of provoked a conversation. So these calls, I asked them to come to my classroom, and they did. And
these are high school kids, right?
These are high school kids. And when I saw how engaged they were with these stories, I just had the veterans come back and back and back. And then in 2000, the Veterans History Project was created at the Library of Congress to save the stories of America's veterans, because they realized every veteran that passed away, you've lost a piece of history, you've lost a story. So that was created. And so we don't work for them, but we work with them, because they rely on communities all over America to go out, get the stories, and share them with their collection. So it started there. And then in 2003, Salt River Project was celebrating its centennial and offered small grants for students to document local history. And we did a Christmas pageant project up in Cave Creek. And then the following year, the students said, let's go interview those veterans full out. Because the veterans who had come to the classroom, maybe for World War II, they had about 15 minutes apiece. It was an hors d'oeuvre, but it wasn't the full course. So the students said, we want to hear the whole story. So we started, we had to get video cameras and tape that and learn interview skills and what do you do with it afterwards. And the decision was made, we need to publish a book because they need to see their story in print. So from the student point of view, for me, it's not one visit, one day, in one ear and out the other. If you have to write about it, you have to know it. And so they had to tell that story in their own words.
When we spoke yesterday, you talked about them being accountable for what they heard. I thought that was an excellent way to look at it. Just if this person's going to share this intimate story with you, you're not just going to let it roll off your back and forget about it. You're going to write it down, you're going to record it, and you're going to share it.
And you have to go to the veteran and have the veteran read it. So there's that approval, which raises the level. Because nobody wants, especially military veterans, they know other veterans are going to read it, so they want to be sure that it is accurate. Accurate, I always say ACAC, accurate, complete, clear, and well proofread.
That is just, we have a lot more to tell. We have a break coming up here. I want to bring Barbara back at the next segment. We're going to talk about some of the specific stories, some of the specific students and veterans, and we'll be right back.